the key to overcoming all of life's difficulties. Considering God the key to overcoming all of life's difficulties. Beginning at verse number 1 of Exodus chapter number 17. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod which wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock of Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come out water out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Let us pray. Eternal God and Heavenly Father, we approach your throne again this morning, Lord, with gladdened and thankful hearts. God, that you've allowed us again another opportunity to come together, Lord, in this place of worship. We thank you, God, for the privilege that you've afforded us today to stand behind this sacred desk and, God, to minister your word. But, Lord, we recognize and we understand, as we always do, there can be no preaching done lest the preacher come. And, God, we invite now the Holy Spirit, God, to take charge of your servant. Lord, to hide us behind the cross. God, to grant to us the power of remembrance, the things, God, that you have shared with us concerning this text. Lord, that we might share it today with your people. God, that it might go forth and fall upon ears that are open to hear and hearts, God, that are ready to receive. And Lord, that when we all leave this place this morning, that we would truly be able to say that it's been good to be in the presence of our God. Lord, to hear a word from you afresh here today. And Lord, we'll give you praise. We'll give you honor. God, we'll give you all the glory for what is accomplished in this service today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Contrary to the message that we often hear today by many of our TV evangelists and radio evangelists, suggesting that if you are truly a born-again Christian, and if you have sufficient faith, that there will not ever be any more difficulties in your life, that all of your troubles and your trials are behind you. My Bible says in Psalm 34, and verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. The Bible also tells me in Job chapter number 14 and verse number 1, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. In our passage of Scripture this morning, we realize that the children of Israel have been blessed by God and delivered out of their Egyptian bondage and all the difficulties and the troubles and the trials that they experienced there. Only to find that as they follow God here in the wilderness on that journey from Egypt to the promised land, they are still encountering difficulties. And we find that it didn't go so well with them. Obviously, maybe they had bought into that message that I just spoke about, and they did not believe that they would now encounter any more difficulty. And so they murmured and they complained. And what a tragedy. Because you see, God brought them out to take them in. Amen. God brings us out to take us in. And I tell you folks, yes, our eternal life begins the moment that we get saved, not pie in the sky in the by and by. And so we find here that they missed it. Amen. Like many of us miss it today. Dr. Charles Spurgeon, a prince of preachers, said on one occasion, "Would you lose your sorrow? Would you drown your cares? Then go plunge yourself in God's deepest sea. Be lost in His immensity, and you shall come forth as from a crouch of rest, refreshed and invigorated." He says, "I know nothing which can so comfort the soul, so calm the swelling billows of sorrow and grief, so speak peace to the winds of sorrow and grief, and the winds of trial, as a devout musing or meditating upon the subject of God." So this morning, I want us to focus our attention for these few moments that we have together upon our God. And we find in the passage of Scripture that I've called your attention to today, four characteristics of God that if we will embrace and if we will believe in, then surely He will grant us the power to overcome all of life's difficulties. Because we're going to experience difficulty in this life. So I want to call your attention, if you will, back to verse number 1. And it's there that we find the first characteristic of God that I want to point out to you. And that is that God is a God of divine providence. God is a God of divine providence. Look at verse number 1. It said, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after that their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim." There is no question. There is no doubt about it that God was leading His people. Not only did God's people encounter a difficulty, a circumstance, adverse circumstance here in Rephidim, but my friends, we also must recognize that God is the one that led them there. Sometimes God leads us into difficulty. Some might say, "Well, I find that hard to believe." But friends, when God allows difficulty to come into our life, when God allows troubles and trials to come into our life, we must understand God has a plan and God has a purpose. I want you to believe and receive this morning. The Spirit of God will never lead you where the grace of God can't keep you. Amen? The Spirit of God will never leave you where the grace of God can't keep you. God does have a plan and God does have a purpose. And I stand before you today to praise my God that my life does not depend upon chance, that I am not dependent upon chance, blind chance, but I am in the providential hand of God. And I can trust God, my friend, with my present, with my future. I can trust God to take care of me. Amen? That God is on the throne and God will take care of His own. Yes, God sees the big picture. Sometimes our difficulties, sometimes the problems that we face kind of blindside us. We didn't see them coming. But another thing we need to understand, nothing catches God by surprise. Amen? Because God is an omniscient God. He's an all-knowing God. And nothing catches Him by surprise. And as I said, God has a plan and God has a purpose. God was taking the children of Israel from Egypt to the promised land. But there had to be times along the way that He would test their faith in Him. And friends, God allows difficulties and problems and situations to occur in our life that He might test our faith, that our faith might be strengthened, that our character might be matured, and that our trust might be validated. Our trust in Him. I'm reminded of what Solomon declared in Proverbs 3:5-6. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not upon thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Amen? Yes, my friends, we need to trust in the Lord. Even when we don't understand why we're going through a certain situation, we need to trust in God, because as we said, God has a plan. I suppose that one of the most difficult verses in all the Word of God for us to at times to wrap our heads around is found in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And many of you no doubt are familiar with that verse. But you know, friends, if I'm going to believe John 3:16 that says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life, then I must also believe Romans 8 and 28. I'm of the opinion it's all true or it's none true. Amen? I don't believe we can pick and choose a passage and verses of Scripture and declare one to be inspired and others not to be inspired. I believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I believe that it's the infallible, the inspired, and the inerrant Word of the living God. And so Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 simply says, and we know. We need to stop right there. We need to underline the word know. The Apostle Paul has said, we know. He did not say, we think. He did not say, we guess. He did not say, we hope. He said, we know. And what he's about to share with us, he says, we know that we know that we know that it is true. And he goes on to say, not only as we know, and we know rather, that all things, there's another place we need to stop. We need to underline the word all. Paul says, not that a few things, not that many things, and he doesn't even say most things, he says all things. The Greek word for all in the Greek means all. Amen? It means everything. Everything. So Paul says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose. Friend, I am a firm believer that any and everything that God allows to come into my life, He is orchestrating it. He is over up. Sovereign God is in control, and He's allowing it to come in my life that it might be for my good, that it might conform me to the image of His Son, and that it might bring glory and might bring honor unto His name. Therefore, my friend, when we do enter into an hour of difficulty, a time of stress, a trouble or trial along the way, we should not murmur, nor should we complain, but we should just praise our God, because we know God is up to something in our lives. The Apostle Paul, my friend, believed in the providential hand of God. He says, I'm in everything, he says, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. In everything, again, give thanks, because this is the will of God concerning you. In Philippians 4:11, he says, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Oh, my friends, how we need contentment in a rat race world that we live in today. But if we'll just maintain our focus upon God and realize again that we're guided by the providential hand of God, and God is not going to allow anything to come against us. He's not going to lead us anywhere into anything that He's not going to lead us out of. He's going to truly bless us if we trust God. Dr. Norman Vincent Peale asked J.C. Penney one time, what about the difficulties that you've encountered in life? And Brother Penny said, oh yes, I'm very grateful for them. I thank God for them. Without difficulties, I would never have developed. due to their tutelage and their discipline, I was able to grow strong. Without them, I would have been weak. Oh yes, he says, I say thank God for difficulties. So my friend, as you encounter your difficulties in life's journey, my friend, you should say thank you, God, because I know that you have a blessing in store for me, because you're going to deliver me and bring me through this situation. But then we find there is a second characteristic of God in our text this morning, that if we embrace and if we believe with all of our hearts, it will allow us to be overcomers in the area of difficulty as we go along life's way. In verse number 7, we find that, or verse number 6, actually, the first part of that verse, we find the second characteristic of God. And that simply is, God is a God of divine presence. Aren't you glad that we serve a present tense God? Friend, I don't care what you're going through, and I don't care what the devil has to say to you. He'll try to convince you that if God really cared and if God was really with you, you would not be in this circumstance or in this situation. But I want you to know God is with you where you are. And Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you, but I'll go with you even to the end of this age. God truly is a present tense God. The children of Israel questioned whether God was with them. They said, where is God? Is the Lord among us or not? Oh yes, the psalmist said in Psalm 139 and verse number 7, he said, whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the winds of the morning and can't even read my own writing. How about that? And dive into the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Yes, the psalmist knew wherever he was, there God would be. He said in Psalm 46 and verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Not only is God an omniscient God, but my friend, God is an omnipresent God. There was a time when God was not man. Amen? There was a time when God was not man. But there's never been a time that God's not been God. And there never will be a time that God is not God. Amen? And God, my friend, is a present tense God. The psalmist goes on to say in Psalm 23 and verse 27, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, and the Lord is my light and my salvation. The verb is a present tense verb. Amen. And so, yes, my friend, God is a present tense God. I'm reminded of Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. Those three Hebrew boys. You remember King Nebuchadnezzar built a statue of himself, an idol, if you will, and required that all would fall down and worship it. That Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego refused to bow. Hey, they refused to bend. Amen. But bless God, they refused to burn. Amen. When they would not bow down to the king's idol, the king had them thrown into the fiery furnace. And they heated that furnace 7 times hotter than it had ever been heated before. And they threw those boys in. And immediately afterward, the king came and he looked into the furnace. And then he was shocked and surprised, no doubt. And he said to those around him, did we not throw 3 men into the fire? And they said, surely we threw 3 men into the fire. He said, well, I see a 4th man in the fire. A fourth man walking in the fire, and he looks like the Son of God. Amen. Brother, if you're in the fire, Jesus is in the fire. Amen. The psalmist David said, Isaiah declares in Isaiah 43:2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Thank God. Our God is a God of divine presence. I'm reminded of Hosea. And God said to Hosea, he said, I will be as dew unto Israel. I will be as dew unto Israel. Well, if we understand what God is saying there, we must understand a little bit about what dew is. Because it's talking about God's divine presence. You know, I've heard much of my life, I've heard people say, and no doubt you have as well, well, you know, the dew rose last night. Wrong answer. The dew doesn't rise. Well, I've heard other people say, the dew fell last night. Wrong answer. Dew doesn't fall. Well, if dew doesn't rise and dew doesn't fall, where does dew come from? Huh? Well, brother, here it is. Dew is there all the time. But it only forms when the conditions get right. That's the way it is with God. Amen? Listen, God is there all the time, whether you recognize Him or whether you don't. But when your heart gets right, when your mind gets right, amen, when your heart gets right with God, then God will surely reveal Himself and you can sense the presence of Holy God. You need to understand something else about dew that certainly is applicable to Christ. Dew, my friends, forms the thickest at night when it's darkest. Amen? Hey, Jesus comes through, amen, when the darkest hour of our day, we recognize Him, even the greater, amen, when things aren't going so well. And now also we find that dew forms the heaviest in the valley. In the valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me, amen. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Amen. We serve, folks, a present tense God. Again, Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The psalmist say, again, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. But then there's another characteristic of God that's mentioned in our text, that's revealed, actually, in our text, that if we truly believe and get a handle on today, it will cause us to be overcomers in every life's disappointment, every life's difficulty, every life's trouble or trial that we go through. Not only is God a God of divine providence and a God of divine presence, but He's also a God of divine provision. I want you to notice in, again, verse number 6, and the latter part of that verse, God said to Moses, thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall water come out of it, that the people may drink. God, once again, providing for His own, providing for His children. Yes, you know, it's almost mind-boggling, mind-blowing to wonder why the nation of Israel is murmuring and complaining in this situation. Why are they doubting? Why are they questioning the provision of God? Even though they came to Rephidim and there was no water, surely they should have realized and understood that nothing is impossible with God. And that God, being the divine provider that He is, He would provide for their need. Many times, we are guilty of the same thing, aren't we? When things are going not like we would hope for, We question God. But God is that divine provider. You see, this wasn't the first time that God had provided for them or had the need of provision for them. It goes all the way back. All the way back to when they left Egypt. God provided an escape. Yes, when they got down to the Red Sea, God provided a highway where there was no way that they might escape Pharaoh and his army. Yes, even God provided in Massa a water for them, as was a need that was present today. Why would they question God? I like what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. He says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Amen? We have a God of divine provision. I want to suggest to you this morning, friends, that God will provide our physical needs. God will provide our physical needs. Yes, yes, it doesn't matter if you've lost your job. It doesn't matter if sickness has come and your bank accounts are drained. It doesn't matter, my friend, if the prices of the things that we need in life continue to escalate. It doesn't matter, because God has committed Himself as the divine provider, and God will provide your need. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew verse 6 and verse 31 and following. "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." This is God's promise. Amen? God has promised, has committed Himself to be your divine provider. Yes, my friends, we don't have to question when we've come up against a difficult hour financially whether or not our needs are going to be met, because God will meet those needs. Indulge me for just a few moments, maybe to give you a couple of personal illustrations. When I was young in my ministry, and we were rearing our four girls, they were all at home, things were rather tight financially. And every once in a while, I'd get an opportunity to make an extra few dollars. When I did so, we would think, well, maybe we can do something special now. Maybe take the girls out to Hardee's. Or, you know, Hardee's was cheap back then. maybe we could do something special. But it seemed like every time that I would make a few extra dollars, something would come up. One of the girls would need a new pair of shoes. One of them might need a new dress. Something might be going on at school that they needed some extra money. Something seemed like would always come up and take whatever I had made extra. And you know, I was somewhat like the nation of Israel. I got a little bit bent out of shape, and I began to murmur. And I began to complain. And God, in that sweet, still, small voice — I didn't hear a voice in my ear, but I heard it in my heart — He spoke to me and He simply said, "Son, why are you murmuring? Why are you complaining? You ought to be praising and you ought to be thanking me." He said, "I knew that situation was coming before it ever got there. And so I provided the means to meet it before it got there." Amen. I said, "Thank you, Jesus." And that ended my murmuring and my complaining. He is our provider. Amen. There was another occasion. You remember back when gas prices first started going up? Now, this might hit home to some of you today. Gas prices started going up, and I began to again murmur and complain about, "Oh, they're just trying to rob us," and so forth and so on. And again, that sweet, still, small voice spoke to my spirit. And God said, "Son, if gasoline goes to $10 a gallon, I can afford it." I said, "Well, glory. Thank you, Jesus." And you know what? I have never needed a gallon of gas that I haven't had the money to pay for it. Amen? God is our divine provider. He will provide for our physical need. But not only will God provide for our physical need, God will also provide for our spiritual need. I want to share a verse of Scripture that's really and truly dear to my heart, found in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 13. Amen? This is a passage of Scripture that we all truly need to get a handle on. And we all need to put our faith and our trust in. And I'm going to share it with you this morning out of the Amplified version of the text. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13. It simply says, "For no temptation, no trial regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid hold on you that is not common to man. That is, no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance, and that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experience, and such as man can bear. But God is faithful to His Word and to His compassionate nature, and He can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried and assayed beyond your ability and strength of resistance and power to endure. But with the temptation, He will always, always also provide the way out, the means of escape to a landing place, that you may be capable and strong and powerful to bear up under it patiently." Amen. Listen, folks. It matters not what the devil throws at you. No matter what fiery dart he throws at you, what temptation he brings against you, our God is a God of divine provision, and He provides our spiritual needs. Now, you must never say, as Flip Wilson used to say, "The devil made me do it." No, my friend, if you cave in to temptation, if you yield to temptation, you do it because you want to, amen? Not because you have to. It's not because God is not faithful. It's because you are not faithful. It's because you have not embraced and believed what He has said in His Word. I believe, my friend, we have no excuse to sin against our God, because it's not about us. It's all about Him. Amen? We need to quit focusing on our weakness and begin to focus on His ability and His strength. Again, it's not what I can do. It's what He has done and will do once again in and through me if I release the power that He's made available to me. He is a God, a divine provision. He provides for us spiritually. He provides for us physically, but He also provides for us emotionally. Are you on an emotional roller coaster today? Has worry and fear gripped your very heart? I want you to know that God is a God of divine provision, and He can provide the peace that passes all understanding for your soul. He can deliver you from this emotional roller coaster that you are on. We find the definition of how we can enjoy the peace of God in Philippians 4, 5, and 6. Again, out of the Amplified, or 6 and 7 rather, out of the Amplified text. He says, "Do not fret or have anxiety about anything, But in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Yes, amen. God will provide your emotional need. He will provide the peace that passes all understanding if you will avail yourself to it. But then we find there is a fourth truth in the Scripture, revealed in our text, that if we again get a handle on and trust with all of our heart, it will allow us to be overcomers over all of life's difficulties and all of life's struggles. And that is, and I would suggest maybe this is the greatest, maybe of them all. Not only is God a God of divine providence, a God of divine presence, and a God of divine provision, but He's also a God of divine patience. Isn't it wonderful that God is patient with you and me? Oh, He could so easily have cast Israel aside. He could so easily have been distressed with their continuous failings. But God was a God and is a God of divine patience. Thank God He's a God of another chance. Hey, I've often heard He's a God of a second chance. He's a God of more than that. Amen? Most of us here today, no doubt, have had more than just two chances. Huh? But He's a God of another chance. And all through the Scripture, we see that portrayed. God being a God of patience and a God of another chance. Yes, even He was a God of another chance for Adam and Eve who failed Him there in the garden. He was a God of another chance for the entire world when He repopulated the earth through Noah and his family. Yes, He was a God of another chance for many throughout the course of history. He was a God of another chance for Peter, who denied Him three times. Swore that he did not know Him. Thank God He's been a God of another chance for me. And listen, friend, if you're here today and you failed God, He's ready to welcome you home. He's ready and willing to give you another chance because He is a God of divine patience. We invite you this morning. Whatever God has said to you through the message, whatever God's pointed out to you about your own life, if you have a need to come to this altar today for rededication, for salvation, for whatever the case may be, we invite you to come this morning because we serve an awesome God.